Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Canto 8 of Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 5 verse 26. Sri Brahmo Vacha Avikriyam Satyam Anantamajam Guhasaya Nishkalam Apatakyam Manograyanam Avachasa Niruktam. Namamahe Deva Varam Varanyam. Sri Brahma Uvacha, Lord Brahma said, Avikriyam, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who never changes, Satyam, eternal supreme truth, Anantam, unlimited, Adyam, original cause, Guha Shayam, present in everyone's heart, Anishkalam, without any decrease in potency. Apartakyam, inconceivable. Mana agrayanam, more quick than the mind. Vachasa, by jugglery of words. Aniruktam, indescribable. Namamahe, all of us demigods offer our respectful obeisances. Devavaram, unto the Supreme Lord. Varanyam, supreme worshipable. Who was worshipped in the Gayatri Mantra? Translation, Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Lord, O changeless, unlimited supreme truth, you are the origin of everything. Being all-pervading, you are in everyone's heart and also in the atom. You have no material qualities. Indeed, you are inconceivable. The mind cannot catch you by speculation, and words fail to describe you. You are the supreme master of everyone, and therefore you are worshipable for everyone. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. For a part, the Supreme Personality of God is not anything of material creation. Everything material must change from one form to another, for example, from earth to earthen pot, and from earthen pot to earth again. All of our creations are temporary and permanent. The Supreme Personality of God, however, is eternal, and similarly living entities who are parts of him are also eternal. The Supreme Personality of God is Sanatan, eternal, and individual living entities are also eternal. The difference is that Krishna or God is the supreme eternal, whereas the individual souls are minute, fragmental eternals. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kshetragyam Chapi Mam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. Although the Lord is a living being and the supreme souls are living beings, the supreme Lord, unlike the individual souls, as Vibhu, all-pervading, and Ananta, unlimited, the Lord is the cause of everything. The living entities are innumerable, but the Lord is one. No one is greater than him, and no one is equal to him. Thus, the Lord is the supreme worshipable object as understood from the Vedic mantras. The Lord is supreme because no one can evaluate him by mental speculation or jugglery of words. The Lord can travel more quickly than the mind. In the Sruti mantras of Isa Upanishad, it is said, although fixed in his abode, the personality of God is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. the powerful demigods cannot approach him, although in one place he controls those who supply air and rain. He surpasses all in excellence. He's Upanishad 4. Thus, the Supreme is never to be equaled by the subordinate living entities. Because the Lord is situated in everyone's heart and the individual living entity is not, never should the living entity be equated with the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Sarasya chaham hridi sannivista. I am situated in everyone's heart. This does not mean, however, that everyone is equal to the Lord. In the Sruti Mantras, it is said, hridi shayam atma pratishta. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, satyam param dhimahi. The Vedic mantras say, satyam gyanam anantam and nishkalam nishkriyam shantam niravadyam. God is supreme. Although naturally he does not do anything, he is doing everything. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, by me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. This material nature, working under my direction, O son of Kunti, is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Thus, although the Lord is silent in his abode, he is doing everything through his different energies. All the Vedic mantras or Sruti mantras are included in this verse spoken by Lord Brahma. For Brahma and his followers, the Brahma Sampradaya, understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the Parampara system. We have to gain understanding through the words of our predecessors. There are 12 Mahajans or authorities of whom Brahma is one. We belong to the succession of Brahma, and therefore we are known as the Brahma Sampradaya. As the demigods follow Lord Brahma to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we also have to follow the authorities of the Parampara system to understand the Lord. Translation, Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Lord, O changeless, unlimited, supreme truth, you are the origin of everything. Being all-pervading, you are in everyone's heart and also in the atom. You have no material qualities. Indeed, you are inconceivable. The mind cannot reach you by speculation, and words fail to describe you. You are the supreme master of everyone, and therefore you are worshipable for everyone. We offer respectful obeisances unto you. So this is a verse of praise of the Supreme Lord. Of course, usually the Devatas and Brahma, they go to the Supreme Lord with a request. They want something. But before they do that, they have to go through the formality of praising the Supreme Lord. Because it's natural that if one approaches the Lord, one should offer praise. So this is, in one sense, a type of kirtan. So they do this in the form of offering respects. Namama, hey, we offer our respects to you. And then he just described, you who are Avikriya, Satyam, Anantam, Adyam, Guhasayanam, Nishkalam, Apratakyam, etc. So there's a big long list of words to describe that Supreme Lord. By which they indicate that he is superior to every other entity or every other living being or non-living thing that exists. In other words, they're defining the Supreme Lord by various words. Now, as we said yesterday, there may be a problem with words because words are sounds, sounds are material, so how can material words indicate the Supreme Lord? And if the Supreme Lord has no qualities, how can you describe him? But we don't say that he has no qualities. He does have qualities. And therefore, he can't be described. Nevertheless, the words we use, we should not think of them in a limited way, as our material words are bound to be, but we should understand them that they're applied to a spiritual object, and therefore they're not exactly the same as our material conception. So with that in mind, we can discuss, why do we have to use words at all? That's for our benefit. In order to satisfy our intellect. Because we are intelligent beings, we will ask, why should I worship the Lord? So therefore, there has to be an answer to that. And therefore, different words are used to describe him. Now, the words, of course, do have a material connotation because we are in the material world, and we're using our material minds and material sounds. However, some of these words obviously can indicate the position of the Supreme Lord to some degree, not completely, but to some degree, and describe his qualities, even though we do have material connotations to the words. So therefore, scriptures do describe the Lord for our understanding. So here we have a list of words like avikriyam and satyam, anantam, adyam, etc. Some of the words will particularly apply to the Lord. Some of the words also apply to the, we can say, the jiva as well. But when we combine them, of course, then they must indicate only the Supreme Lord. The jivas have some of the qualities like the Supreme Lord, but not all the qualities. So some of these can be applied to the jiva as well, but others cannot. For instance, the Atma is also a vikriyam. He doesn't change. We cannot cut the jiva up or do anything to the jiva by his nature. He's got a sarup that doesn't change. Similarly with the Lord, his sarup does not change. So that's a common feature of spiritual things. Of course, for the jiva, we do have change in terms of bodies. We accept bodies which do change. Lord does not accept bodies which change. He has eternal bodies which don't change at all. Satyam means truth. What does absolute truth mean? What does it mean? He doesn't tell lies. Is that what it means? Absolute truth. Satya also means existence. Supreme existing being. If one object exists, another object exists, another object exists, how we can say one exists more than the other? They either exist or they don't exist. So how can we distinguish the Lord's existence from all others? First of all, let's accept that something exists. Why? Because some philosophies say no existence. Buddhism, nothing exists. Everything is illusory. So, at least all the Vedic philosophies, whether they're Sankhya or anything, atheistic philosophies, or whether they are there, that have some adherence to the Vedas, they will say, yes, something exists at least. Satya is there. Existence is there. But if the Lord simply exists, like the jiva exists and matter exists, there's nothing too extraordinary. The Lord is real. So, that is, of course, a distinction. The Lord is real, the jiva is real. So we don't distinguish one satya, several satyas. Mayavada philosophy does not accept that. Only one satya, Supreme Lord. Everything else is illusory. So we accept Supreme Lord as satya. We also accept jiva as satya. And also matter is satya. It exists. It's not illusory. Difference, of course, is there in one sense, because jivas are many. Many satyas. Lord is a conscious entity. He's single satya, one existence. Lord has many forms, but he's one being. Jivas are many different beings. Real. Matter also is real. As Prakriti, is real. But it's not conscious. There's a little difference there, and that's satya. So the Lord is conscious, and he is existing. The difference between the Lord's existence and the jiva's existence and Prakriti's existence is jiva's existence and Prakriti's existence depend on the Lord. Jivas cannot exist without the Lord's existence. The Lord can exist without the jivas and without Prakriti. Of course, they're all eternal, so that's theoretical only. But everything in existence is depending on the Lord and his existence. That is the difference of the Lord, Satya. In that sense, he is supreme Satya. all the things are eternal. Jivas are eternal, matter is eternal, Lord is eternal. They all exist eternally, but all the other eternals depend upon the Lord. Therefore, we say, among the nityas, nityanam, he is nitya. He is the chief eternal among all eternals. So, when we say satya, then we can also say he is the supreme existing being. This puts him in the highest position, of course. Interestingly enough, the word Krishna can mean the same thing with a little addition. So when we divide the word up into Krishna, Krish means existence, satya. And na means bliss. So by satya we mean he is the origin of all existing things. And he is the origin of all bliss. So again we have this idea of supreme existence. Everything else exists because he exists. Okay. So anyway, that's why we call him Satya. Anantam, which literally means no end, which means everywhere. Unlimited, no beginning, no end, all-pervading, etc. It includes all those concepts in terms of space and time. Time aspect, of course, means what? No beginning, no end. And space means everywhere, pervading everywhere. So this also is a quality of the Supreme Lord, not of Prakriti and not of Jiva. Jivas are limited entities, anu. They are not all-pervading, vibhu. They are conscious, they're eternal, but they are particles only, amsams. Lord is everywhere. We can say that Jiva is Ananta in terms of time. Yes, he is also eternal. No beginning, no end. In terms of pervading everywhere? No. However, he can pervade his body. That is why it's called Atma. Jiva is called Atma because Atma means he spreads out. So he spreads out in his body. The jiva pervades his body by consciousness. That's his limit. Yeah. Supreme Lord, by his nature, pervades everywhere, inside and outside, etc. Adyam means first, or the origin. Of course, the origin of jivas and prakriti is metaphorical in one sense because the jivas have no beginning. They're eternal. Prakriti has no beginning. It's eternal. But to show that everything is dependent on the Lord, therefore we say Adyam. He is the source of everything or the origin of everything in that sense. And without his will, they do not operate. They cannot move. They cannot do anything. Guhasayam. He is residing in the heart. Since he is all-pervading, obviously he's everywhere. So Guhasayam has another meaning, of course. That means Antaryami Paramatma. He has a particular form. Ooh. Witnesses everything in all the jivas. This is something also which is particular to the Lord, not to the jivas. Jivas do not expand infinitely everywhere and observe everything. They are limited. The Lord can expand himself freely without any effort everywhere and witness everything. He can enter into everything. Nishkalam, without decrease, never decays, never gets old, etc. This, of course, is true of the jiva also. The jiva never changes also. Lord never changes. Something like vikriya or whatever, unchanging. The material energy, obviously, with our body, etc., does dwindle away. we get old age and death, etc. No changes like that in the Supreme Lord, or even in the Jiva by his nature. So, he is inconceivable of Pratakyam. Of course, simply because he is material, and we're in Tarka, generally we think of as a material function of the mind. It means to think about and logically analyze. Tarkya. Use our intelligence and logic to analyze something and think about it. So, Lord is beyond material intelligence. So in that sense, atarkya. Can the Lord be understood at all? If he is completely beyond our intelligence, then how can we ever perceive him? If we perceive him, we'll just say, what is that? We get to Baba and pray, maybe perceive the Lord, and you're incapable of understanding what it is. What is it? No, we can perceive him. But it's not material. It's not subject to our laws of logic, intelligence, rationality, etc., in that sense. So the Jiva himself has the ability to perceive and experience the Lord, definitely, but not by the means of material logic, intelligence, etc. In one sense, the Jiva also is beyond logic. Because it is, again, a spiritual. And anything spiritual cannot be analyzed by material energy. Even the Jiva is atarkya. What is the difference between the two inconceivabilities of the Jiva and the Supreme Lord? Even if the Jiva is able to understand the Lord by his spiritual intelligence, not material intelligence, still, he cannot understand everything about him. There must still be puzzlement and wonder at the extraordinary activities of the Lord. Even using his spiritual perceptions, the Jiva cannot understand everything about the Supreme Lord. Why? Because he has infinite powers that cannot be understood completely by the Jiva. That's why. So, in that sense, he is different from the Jiva, who is limited. Okay. What else we got here? Quicker than the mind. Which means, in one sense, again, something like atarkya. He cannot be grabbed by the intelligence. He cannot be grabbed by the mind, even. So intelligence is a mental function, material function. The mind also is a material function. Not analytical like the intelligence, but it is able to store impressions and do things, feelings, etc., like that. So the mind and the intelligence, neither can grasp the Supreme Lord. Because they're both material. Words cannot define the Lord. Material words, that is. Because it's material. Material words are related to our intelligence also. We understand words by intelligence. We give them meaning by intelligence. And it's all material. So there, in one sense, words cannot describe the Supreme Lord. Using this, of course, the impersonalist will therefore said, you can't name the Lord, you cannot describe the Lord. Why? Because he has no qualities. So, in answer to that, we say, the Lord does have spiritual qualities. And if we have spiritual words can describe the Lord. And that is what scripture is. So therefore, the scripture does describe the Lord using words, and it is acceptable. Suddenly we say here, is not defined by, cannot be defined or whatever described by words. It means by material words, normal words in the material world. Because they're all related to material concepts, etc. So Scripture can describe the Lord. And because of that, therefore we can also say that the Lord can be understood by the intelligence and the mind through Scripture. If the intelligence accepts the version of Scripture intelligently and gets a conclusion, then yeah, the Lord is approachable by intelligence and mind. Devavaram, best of the devas. Varenyam, most worshipable, worthy of praise, etc. So this, again, puts the position of the Lord as superior to other beings, other living entities, whether they have bodies or no bodies or whatever. He is the best Deva, of course, can mean devata. What are devatas? Usually they have material bodies. They're jivas. So if he's the best of the devatas, that would imply he has a material body also, like a jiva. But so that's not taken in that sense. He is supreme among the devas. So in other words, he is above the devas, which Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. And because of all of this, his being Ananta, Avikriya, Guhasayam, Apratakyam, etc., Devavaram, therefore, he is most worshipable, Varenyam, worthy of respect by everybody. He's in the highest position. He is the ultimate origin of everything, has the highest powers, has the highest knowledge, etc. Therefore, he is worthy of respect and praise. So, this of course, and therefore, the Brahma says, therefore we respect you. Namamahe. So, in other words, he's defining here the reason why they should offer respects to the Supreme Lord, because he's in the supreme position. And these are some of the qualities. So these are not all the qualities. What is missing here? One quality is bliss. Lord is the most blissful. So this is the important aspect of Krishna. Yes, he is the origin of everything. He is the supreme existence, but he's the supreme bliss. So this is not a complete explanation of the Lord. It's some of the qualities of the Lord. So, of course, we have other verses which will describe other aspects of the Supreme Lord. So we shouldn't take this as an exhaustive list of all aspects of the Lord. This is very general. But nevertheless, it puts him in the supreme position, and therefore he is worthy of respect. So this indicates the position of the Supreme Lord, position of Brahma and the Jivas. What is the relationship? The jivas serve the Supreme Lord. That's our samanda, our relationship with the Lord. So here we have a nice description of the Supreme Lord and the jiva and the relationship. Very simple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that is all the scripture does. Sambandha, abhijaya, prayojana. These three aspects. These are the three things discussed in scripture. So we have the two here. If we get ananda, or bliss described in the Lord, then we get the other aspect, prayojana. What is the goal of the jivas? Prema, which means bliss. So here we have two aspects there. And one and a half, because the we offer respects indicates the bhakti aspect. Not so clearly, but something is there in here.
in the